Karen said, "You are." I said, "No, no, I'm not." That was so funny. This Pope visit to the United States has spawned my message, and specifically something that was said on talk radio last night. I was listening to talk radio about 10 o'clock last night, and one of the guys said something. He was raised Roman Catholic, and he said something that inspired my message tonight. This is not going to be a message or attack against the Catholic Church at all. I'm just going to read you what the Scripture says. I think it's very clear, because Rodney is right, and we're seeing this great parade of honor and glory for a person that just, you know, puts his pants on like me, and, you know, has problems like me, and has issues like me, and temptations like me, and you know, has, you know, probably sinned a lot less than me, but nevertheless has sinned. And so you get, you know, thinking about how we exalt people. And we're going to read a little bit, and some of the verses I'm going to read, one particular verse I'm going to read directly got spawned off what this guy on radio said last night. And we'll get to that. It's very interesting. When he said that, I'm driving a car, and I'm like, no, he wasn't. Like, you hear me? No, he wasn't. I was so frustrated. I'm like, oh my gosh, how can people be so deceived? So, who is really head of the church? Because we seem to think the popes that come through the generations, they get all the honor, and they're the ruler of, you know, the written word, so to speak, and what they say is, you know, how it goes, and da-da-da-da. You know, one thing should prove its point here is, as you know, and I don't know how you stand the way, it doesn't mess your stance, but this pope we have in office now is the most liberal pope's ever been that I know of as a pope. Has really contradicted some of the Catholic teachings by his own opinions. So we already see here, okay, here's a world religious leader who's supposed to be in control of the church, so to speak, who contradicts really what God's word says. So let's get into this, and once again, it's not an attack against the Catholic Church. It just it spawned my message to see all this attention given, all this honor given. It amazes me. I know Doc texted me this morning, but Doc was burned up with it, boy. He texted me, and he said, man, he said, if we give Jesus as much attention as we gave the Pope, the world will be changed. That's exactly right. It sure would be. And whoever Manley said or Rodney one is right. God is here. So we're going to start in Matthew 23:8. Who is really head of the church? Matthew 23:8. And I love what Rodney said, that our sins have already been paid for by the blood of Jesus, and how true that is. So we are going to be in 23 and verse 8. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, "Be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." Very clear here, isn't it? That there's no human master. There's no human father. There's one Holy Father. There's one Heavenly Father. And once again, this is no disrespect. I'm just reading Scriptures. You know, when people refer to another human being as your holiness, really? Nothing holy about me, church. The one that lives in me who's holy. And that's what counts. And we have people bowing down and kissing the hand of this man when they curse Jesus. When they take his name in vain. When they have no regard for how they please in their heavenly Father. But yet here is this man that gets all the accolades of actually worship. Worship. People lining up, pictures, and just in awe, and just, oh my gosh, I got to see him. I got to see the Pope. It's just, it amazed me. So the Jesus is clear, there's only one Father, only one Master. We're all just brethren, including all the popes. They're just brethren. They're just ones that are serving God. They have no within themselves any more holiness than Rodney Forbes. Does that sound bad? I'm sorry. What makes no more holiness? Just been elected into this position of authority in his office. And once again, there are 1 billion, they say, 1 billion people who profess they're Catholics in the world. 1 billion Catholics. That's a lot. And I have talked to many Catholics. We've had several here in the church that came out of Catholicism. And I had one guy that was here for a long time. He's not here any longer, but he came for a long time. He told me, he said, Pastor, went to lunch one day. He said, Pastor, I want to tell you, I've learned more in 3 years as church about the Bible than I learned my whole life as a Catholic. And this guy's in his late 40s, 50 years old. I learned more in 3 years about the Bible than I did my whole Catholic journey. And the reason why is because a lot of that teaching is not taught out of the Bible. It's not truly Scripture. I went to a Catholic funeral up north when Don's mother passed away. It was a very neat experience, a very unique experience. Never seen anything like it. It was very different. And when we got done, Don said, that's how a service is all the time. I said, that wasn't just a special funeral. No, that's how all of them are. It wasn't just a funeral service. That's how it's done on Sundays. That's how it is. And it really made me realize, wow, there was really no word taught. There was no real scriptures read. It was just so different. I'm like, and there's 1 billion people that are following something that really is not in Scripture, has been misconstrued. So, no one is your father, no one is your master. There's only one. Go to the next slide. There is but one Father, His name is God. One Father, that's it. Father God, no other Father. Go to the next scripture, Jeremy. Now this is in John 14, verse 6. This is also Jesus speaking. He saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what is he saying right here? Melly, check on Ashley for me. Will you make sure things okay back here? We are not drawn by a man or by religion. We are drawn by Jesus. See, I've dealt with people in this faith, and many believe that they, by the very profession of being Catholic, they're okay. No one's okay apart from Christ. Not saying they don't have Christ. I'm just saying what I hear and what I've been encountered with. You know, I see people and talk to people all the time that say this, my Catholic faith teaches me this. Well, it shouldn't be Catholic faith. It should be my Christian faith teaches me this. My Christian faith shows me this. Not my Catholic faith. There's only one faith. The Bible says there's one Lord, one Spirit, one faith. And that's Jesus. So, you know, we went door knocking. Me and Joe used to go door knocking. And you've been door knocking through the year early. You ever door knocking? I think you did it early in the years. And we'd go door knocking. It was so fun. And we'd knock on doors, you know, just invite people to church, you know, just saying, hey, want to invite you to church. If you don't have a home church, we're right around the corner here. Love to have you. And the issue was this. If it was a Catholic person, here's their response every time. I'm Catholic. That's all they would say. Well, I'm James. Nice to meet you. I mean, what do you want me to say? Okay, so you know what they're saying? I'm okay. I don't need you. Nobody else said that. Nobody else says, well, I'm Southern Baptist. I'm Pentecostal Holiness. I'm Presbyterian. I'm Lutheran. Nobody else ever said that. Only the Catholics would make sure they knew. I guess that was like the, you leave me before you burn them. I mean, I don't know what they want me to do. Okay, you're Catholic. Okay. But are you born again? Is your faith in Christ alone? So that's the key. That's why I love that song, Cornerstone. That I only put my trust in Jesus' blood and righteousness alone. In Christ alone is where I have my redemption. In Christ, I don't have to go through all these rituals to be saved. I don't have to follow a path that man tells me to be saved. You know, I saw something on Facebook. I've been seeing around. People was posting. I actually agree with it. I think it's great. It says, I wasn't called to follow Christians. I was called to follow Christ. That's a big difference. Because a lot of Christians will lead you astray. But if you follow Christ, what His Word says, you're going to be okay. And so we are drawn by the Spirit of Jesus, not by denomination. And there are more than the Catholic denomination. There are many others that believe they're the only ones going to heaven. I mean, in this day of 2015, we got religious denominations think they're the only one going to heaven. Well, I'm Independent Baptist. I'm one of them fiery damnation churches. We walk the line, brother. If you ain't part of us, you ain't making it. I mean, I still hear that kind of stuff, that kind of garbage. Are you serious? I'm in Christ. You're in Christ. I'm God's child. You're God's child. We all God's child. I mean, that's what I feel like saying. If you're in Christ, you're His. Who cares if you? If we can't hide behind these names of anymore, or denomination, or hide behind cultural things that may. Well, you know, and most people by their own profession. I love how this is also said. If you ever run into any Catholic folks, most of them will say, "Well, I'm not a practicing Catholic." What does that mean? I mean, do we say I'm not a practicing Christian? Do we go around and say I'm not a practicing Christian? I mean, many don't practice their faith. No, but we don't go around saying that. What? Hey, what denomination are you? I'm a non-practicing. Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm a non-practicing Christian. You know what that would look at you? What? But for some reason, with the Catholic faith, we seem to understand that. That's scary, ain't it? We know what that means. It means they don't really go to church, and they don't really live by what they're taught to live by. So that's why we've got to get away from that and say, you know what, I want to be a practicing Christian, no matter what denomination I belong to. I've got friends in all sects, and I'm not one of these preachers that says, you know, if you're in this, you're lost. I know there are Catholics that's going to be in the kingdom of God. There are Catholics that know Jesus. There are Catholics, there are Presbyterians, there are Pentecostals, there are Baptists, there are Methodists, and even Lutherans. We know that each denomination has, if you're faith in Christ alone, then you're that's where your faith's at. So we're not drawn by man. We're not drawn by religion. We're supposed to be drawn by the Spirit of God. Go to the next scripture. Matthew 16. Here's a key point. This is where the radio guy last night got me riled up. Matthew 16, verse 15. This is also Jesus speaking. Said, He saith unto them, who do you say that I am? His disciples are talking about, you know, who do the people say I am? They're saying, well, some say you're Elijah, Lord. Some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he says, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered him and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou, Peter, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Don't go to the next verse yet. Next slide. Hear the radio guy said last night. He said, I was raised Roman Catholic. Talking about the Pope being in town, being in the United States. He said, I was raised Roman Catholic. And he said, you know, he was disagreeing with a lot of the Pope's stances because he's more of a conservative Catholic, and this, you know, the Pope's not. So he was disagreeing with some of his stances. He says, you know, I understand that, you know, he brought this verse up. He said, I know, you know, Peter was the first Pope. Upon this rock will I build my church. And when he said that, I want to go through the radio. Peter was not a Pope. It didn't happen that way. The church wasn't built upon Peter. Go to the next slide. The church was built on the revelation of Jesus. It wasn't built on Peter. That's not what he's talking about on this church. Not on Peter. On the revelation of what Peter understood. He's saying, I'm going to build my church on this revelation that I am the Son of the living God. That's what the church is going to be built on. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the anointed one. I am He who said I was and would be and always am. That's what I'm building my church upon. Peter was not a pope. He was a disciple of the gospel. And this is where the Catholic Church begins to intervene to begin their teaching is right here. And Catholics will tell you Peter was their first pope. But he wasn't a pope, not in the sense we have popes now. He was simply a disciple and a servant of God who had revelation of who Christ was. And he says, on that revelation, I'm going to build my church, which is Jesus. That's the revelation. How we've gotten so far from the truth and the simplicity of Jesus being all we need. That's who died for us. That's who rose for us. No other saint did that. No other pope did that. The pope didn't die for me. The pope didn't raise a third day. The pope did not come of a virgin birth. There is nobody other human but Jesus Christ that paid the price, fulfilled the law, and obtained my righteousness but him, period. And when that guy said, I know Peter's the first pope because on his church, man, that's what they're being taught. It's what they're hearing. And maybe you've even believed that through the years because you've heard Catholics always teach that. Maybe you believe, but Peter was not the pope in the sense that they had that teaching.
He simply was the one that had revelation of who Christ was. Jesus said, flesh and blood to reveal it to you. And upon that revelation, Peter, my church will be built. And I'm the cornerstone. I'm the one that bridges the gap. I'm the centerpiece. Anything outside of me is not truth. You know, we don't pray to other saints. We don't pray to dead people. I mean, in a sense of getting prayers answered. The Bible says we have one mediator between us and God, and that is Christ Jesus. He intercedes for us. That's who we pray to. We pray to Jesus. Mary was a wonderful woman, a wonderful, godly woman. But she was not the Messiah. She was born in sinful flesh. She wasn't like Jesus. Jesus came in the form, in the likeness of sinful flesh. But Mary was sinful flesh. She was like any other woman. Sweet little Melanie, sweet little Krista, sweet little Stacy, sweet little Paula, sweet little Dorothy, all you people, sweet little Grandma, sweet little Mama, sweet little Brenda, sweet little Tammy. Got to include all of them now. Sweet little Belen and sweet little Dorothy. All right, I've covered all of them. Huh? Oh, and Vicky, sweet little Vicky. And who? I said Paula. Shirley who? Oh, Shirley, sorry. Yeah, sweet little Shirley. So all you are sweet, all right, and you're godly and you're saved and you're bought by the blood. But, you know, I'm not going to pray to you for my needs to be met. You know, I love my grandpa, but I'm not going to pray to my grandpa Minton, oh, my godly, saintful grandpa. You know, I love you and help make this door open. You don't do that. Somehow we've had these teachings, and they're in error, and they're leading people. Here's the danger of it. The danger and the problem I have is any error leads us away from the truth, which is dangerous, because anything that leads us away from Jesus, we get in trouble. He's a centerpiece. If we get away from that, then we get in trouble because we don't add anything to it. We don't take anything away from it. He was enough. We don't have to have ceremonies to prove we're godly. We don't have to go through customs to prove we're holy. It is truly Christ in us, the hope of glory, as the Bible says. So he was not a pope. The church was not built on him, but rather on the revelation of Jesus. And I wish I could call, should have called in that radio guy and told him that, but that wasn't really the message. Psalm 118:22 says this, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. That's talking about Christ. That's in the Old Testament. They rejected him. They refused him, but he's become the head. They couldn't keep the head down. The head rose to the surface. What they tried to reject became the very head of the Christian church. You know, we say we're Christians, which means we're supposed to be followers of Christ. Not followers of a denomination, not followers of people, not followers of preachers or pastors or evangelists, you know, or popes or world leaders or whoever. We're supposed to be followers of Christ. How do we do that? We follow what his word says and we follow who he says he is. And that's what we believe. God, I follow you. That's all I need to follow. And you will never lead me astray if I trust you. Man will lead us astray. We know that. All of us through the years of going to church at one point or another have been hurt by church people, church preachers, somebody in the church, church teaching. Some people have been scarred severely because of wrong spiritual teaching that has scarred. I mean, church, I've talked to a lot of people, even in this body here, that have been so hurt by past teachings of condemnation and shame and man-made laws. They didn't feel loved, didn't feel accepted. I love what Rodney said. There is absolutely no sin beyond the reach of God's grace. None. And so many folks have been hurt in the church whenever we're supposed to be healers of people, helpers of people. That's what Jesus did. I mean, Jesus, he helped everybody he came in contact with. He healed everybody that asked him to be healed. He provided food when they were hungry, and he provided legs and they couldn't walk, provided eyes they couldn't see, and he provided even money to pay their taxes. Remember that? When the money, the coins found in the fish's mouth? Go pay your tax money with that. I mean, he had everything we needed. And everywhere he went, he blessed people. He touched people. He never condemned anybody. He didn't condemn Zacchaeus. He didn't condemn the adultery woman. He didn't condemn the Samaritan woman at the well. He didn't condemn people. The Bible says he didn't come to condemn us. He came that we might be saved. That's why he came. So to be Christian means we're followers of Christ, which means we should be exercising and resembling the teachings of the one we say we believe in. Even the religion does that. You know, the Mormons have their Joseph Smith following, and they follow those teachings. I mean, they believe he found those tablets. They believe he was an angel gave him those tablets, that new Book of Mormon and all that. They believe that under that tree that Joseph Smith in the 1800s, you know, found this great revelation, and they follow that teaching. They follow it. I mean, they follow Jehovah's Witnesses. They have their teaching, and they follow it. I mean, every Jehovah's Witness is going to be cut the same way. You know what you're getting. Boom, boom, boom. They're all believe the same thing, walk the same way, teach the same thing. Boom, 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 boom. But when it comes to Christians, we're the most mixed up bag of nuts in the world. I mean, we're the mixed nuts. Remember growing up as a kid, Dad always bought the can of mixed nuts. He liked the mixed nuts. You know, me and Mom was cashew people. He couldn't, you know, he wouldn't put that much money. So we had to eat mixed nuts. So me and Mom pick out the cashews when he wasn't looking and he'd thrust up. But anyway, you know, those mixed nuts, you had the cashews, you had the Spanish peanuts, you had the almonds, you had the, maybe the little piece of pecan, you had them big old nasty big old nuts I didn't like. Oof. Had them, had all these different nuts in a can. That's kind of how Christians are. You reach in the can, don't know what you're going to get. Because I'm telling you, a Southern Baptist and a Pentecostal holiness, they're like night and day. Wow. Y'all both serve the same God? I sure do. But you don't amen nothing. You won't sit down for shouting. Good gosh. You say tongues of devil and you say tongues of God. You know, you don't. You wear shorts and you won't wear nothing that shows your ankles. You serve the same God? Are you kidding me? So much diversity. Then you go to the Methodist church or Presbyterian church and it's so quiet you can hear the crickets in the sanctuary. And it's like, are we serving the same God? I mean, it is absolutely amazing. But every other teaching, if you notice, they're on cue. Whether it's Mormonism, whether it's Jehovah's Witness, you know, whether it's Islam. I mean, they all have the same pattern. But Christians are so, and you know why it's that way? Because we've gotten away from the foundation and the cornerstone of who the head of the church is. And the head of the church is not the Pope. The head of the church is not a bishop. The head of the church is not Pastor James. The head of the church is, you know, not a religion or denomination. We have Southern Baptist Convention. We have Presbyterian USA. You know, we have Lutheran, some kind of Lutheran, da-da-da, different branches of that. We have, you know, the Church of God. We have, you know, all these headquarters, all these political things and overseers and all this stuff. And it's like, I mean, I understand we got to have leadership in the church. I understand that. But all leadership submits to one leader. And that's Christ. And when we get away from that is when we start trying to make up our own rules and our own laws and our own stuff. And I mean, it's so funny. I know of a Christian right now who has no TV in their house. And I'll say that's not a bad thing. I mean, TV has a lot of junk on it. And I would have TV withdrawals. I would go into DTs and I would have a major issue. But after I got through that, TV is not a bad thing. But the same person doesn't have TV because, you know, their choice, I don't want TV in the house. You know, it's just, we're trying to be, you know, it's just not, it's a Christian stance we made. They have internet. So they have cell phones and they get on the internet and they get on the web. So I'm like, okay, so here's where the nitpicking goes. If you're not going to have TV because of conviction, why you got internet? Because there's a lot more internet you can find TV. Yeah, I know. Just, I mean, type in anything, you'll find, I mean, just, you know, type in candy. Ooh, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, it don't take nothing for something to pop up when you type a word in. Oh, my gosh. So we start nitpicking all those little things. And then that's what's gotten the church so divided. Well, I don't like loud music. We don't believe in guitar in our church. We believe in just the organ. Well, that's fine. No, not a big deal with that. But don't criticize the guitar player either. If they're playing for God, what is the difference? And same way for us. We don't talk about the boring organ. I mean, excuse me. We don't talk about the organs. They're good too. So don't talk about that. We're all Christians. And this is what has divided us as Christians, because we've gotten off the centerpiece. And it's why I tell folks, a lot of people still ask me, you know, what your church teach? We teach Jesus Christ. You know, saved by Christ alone, teach the grace and blood of Jesus. That's what I teach. Well, what kind of music you got? Does it matter? Just come. Just come. And just, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you know. It ain't hurt my feelings. Well, it will hurt my feelings, but I'll get over it. It always hurts your feelings. I don't know how long you're a pastor. You want people to like your church, you know. But, so what? The music isn't exactly what you were used to. Or so what? You've heard something the same way. Let God's word speak to you. What does God's word say about it? I mean, it is amazing how many folks don't really know what God's Word even says, and they take teaching at face value, you know, without knowing what God's Word. You know, like I said, growing up as a kid, I used to think, you know, I told you this like a couple weeks ago, we'd go outside after service, and every once in a while at our church would be somebody over by the car smoking. I thought it was the biggest deal as a kid. Because I was in a Pentecostal church. Oh, my gosh, they're smoking. Ooh, daddy, they going to hell. Ooh. You know, because you're raised with those values that if you are a Christian, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't, you know, you dress a certain way and your hair a certain way. And, you know, you have the, and I remember thinking, oh, my gosh. And then I began to, you know, realize, well, let's see. Let me find that. Here it is, Matthew 6:4. Those that smoke cigarettes shall die and burn in hell. That's not there. My gosh. What? Gee, why do I think I mean, really? It's not there. You know, men that have their hair 4 inches longer than standard is going to, that's not in the Bible. It's not in there. You know, women that wear pants are ungodly. That's not in the Bible. What's happened is we took in a few verses and made it the way we want to fit. The Bible says, does say something about women should dress modest. I think it does say that. But you know what? You can see a lot more in dress than you can in pants sometimes. Or a lot less. How you want to word that? So I'm just saying, modest means you just, you know, right. Look presentable and don't be a temptation. You know, look, yeah, presentable. But we've taken all this stuff and made a whole doctrine out of it. A whole doctrine. You know, there are some that teach you don't wear any jewelry, but you can't wear a red wedding ring. Well, that's jewelry. And a watch. You're right, right. There's some that teach you, know, you can wear a ring and a watch, but nothing else. Thou shalt wear a ring and a watch, but no, I mean, that's not there. That's what I'm saying. It's not there. And somehow it's been a distraction to pull everybody away from really hearing the good news. And the good news is, church, now get this, you can wear shorts, have a tattoo, have long hair, smoke a Camel cigarette, and still go to heaven. Just saying. I'm just saying. And we have gotten so far because we boxed everybody in. Now, we know smoking kills us, so why do we do it? We should quit that. It kills us. We know alcohol can kill us, so why do we do it? That's common sense that we know these things aren't good for our lives. But it doesn't make us more unholy than the other person. I mean, we all got smokers in our family that we know love God, that are saved and worship and serve and live for God. But they got a habit. It's hard to break. Thank God I never started. They say it's hard to break. You say no. So it's all about determination, isn't it? So we see this Pope arriving, and the whole nation stops, and they're so enthroned in hearing what he has to say. What makes this one voice so special or different? We have the voice of God in this book that continually speaks to our lives over and over and over. And we're so enthroned and see, he's so popular right now because of his liberal views, and America likes that because America is shifting to a liberal nation. And so we like that because, you know, he's come out with same-sex marriage, and he's just, you know, he feels different about it than most people in the past, and, you know, all this stuff, and he's trying to bridge. But see, the way we bridge people together is we teach them the gospel and the good news. We point them to Jesus and get out of the way. Here's Jesus. Here's what he did for you. Serve him. Don't look at me. Serve him. I would love to hear a Roman Catholic Pope truly say in front of billions of people on an announcement, you know, television or whatever, where billions are listening, say that Jesus Christ is Lord and Lord alone, and all people that place their faith in Christ shall inherit the kingdom of God. But see, that's not going to happen because there's a control there. There's a sect of control that, and a lot of teaching has that, a lot of denominations have that, and that's why we got to point people to Jesus and get out of the way and let them discover what Jesus did for them. And then let him just lead. I've said this many times before, the Holy Spirit will lead your life into truth. The Holy Spirit never leads us into error. We're truly following the Holy Spirit. It leads us into truth, never a lie. We're going to know what right from wrong is in our own lives. We're going to know what truth is right from wrong in our lives. Go to the next verse. This is Colossians 1:18. And he, talking about Jesus, is the head of the body, comma, the church. He is the head of his people. He is the head of the institution of church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. I love that. The firstborn, which means there's more born, right? And that's us. the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. All things he'll have the preeminence. So Christ is head of the body, and he's head of the church. And when we don't give him due glory and due exaltation, we are disgracing who he truly is. Not about a man touring a nation with fame, and it's about, let's lift up the name that saved us from our sins. Let's lift up the name that died. Let's lift up the name that rose the third day. Let's lift up the name that took the keys of death, hell, from the enemy forevermore. Let's lift up that name. Let's lift up the name where no other man, another name can man be saved. Let's lift up that name. For in that name is all power. In that name is all glory. In that name is all grace. In that name is all mercy. And no other name. And so, though we respect and we honor authority, we honor positions, and I can look at a pope and I can respect what he has accomplished, I can respect the position he is in, but I don't have to agree with the teaching, and I don't have to agree with what he says. And so that's where we got to be careful, because so many are loomed into this draw because of the fanfare, because of, you know, the Hollywood production. And church, it's just, he's a man. He's a servant like anybody else. There's no big popes or little popes, so to speak. No big eyes, little eyes. We're one body. We're one family. And we're all God's children that place our faith in him. Ephesians 5:23, this verse talks about Christ as well, and I use this in a lot of my counseling, premarital counseling. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Christ is head of the church. Nobody else. Not the pope. Not a religion. Not a nomination. Christ is head. And that's why you have so many people, the different teachings that will teach, if you don't follow their certain way or their program or their teaching, you'll be excommunicated and you're really not saved. How can I be excommunicated in my faith in Christ? He died once and all for me, and my redemption is eternal and secure in him. You can't excommunicate me out of my faith, not of my faith in Christ. Now, my faith in the church, yep, absolutely, but not in Christ. This is why I tell people, don't ever place any faith or hope in me, because I'm going to let you down. No matter how hard I try, how hard I work, how hard I try to serve God, serve the body he's given me, I am going to fail you. But if you're facing Christ, you won't ever be hurt spiritually, because God don't let you down. Place your faith in him, him alone, knowing God, my faith is in you, because I know man's going to let me down. I let myself down. So how do I expect my pastor? He know better. He's going to let me down. My, you know, family's going to let me down from time to time. You know, somebody I love's going to let me down. But you're not going to let me down, God. You're holding me always. You've got me. You're the head of the church. You're the head of the body. And you're the Savior of me. That's what I place my trust in and my faith in. Go to the next verse. This is it. Jesus is head of the church. Jesus. We've read scriptures. Head of the church. You will not hear these scriptures read in the Catholic Church, because it takes away the position and power of who's in charge. God's in charge. I love whenever, Peter. Peter and John, I believe. Yeah, when they healed the impotent man at the gate. Silver and gold have I none, since I have I given to you, rise up and walk. Well, if you read it later on that chapter, Acts chapter 3, I think it is, you read on down in there, what happens is, the rulers grab them, and they capture them, and they get them. He said, how dare you heal this man? I love what they say, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit. By what name, by what power had this man been made whole? What name did you use to heal this man? And they're very bold in saying, they didn't say in the name of the Catholic Church, in the name of Pope Peter. No, they said in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. In his name is how he was healed. His name is how he was raised up. His name alone. So I think it goes on to say, the one that you crucify, the one you, you know, blaspheme, the one you blah, 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 he, that same one, is the one who healed this man. Peter put all credit back to the one that did it, Jesus. We need to put all of our credit to Jesus. Our salvation, our healing, our peace, our forgiveness, it's all to him. No man can forgive your sins. No baptism can forgive your sins. No altar call can forgive your sins. What forgives your sins is your faith in Christ. That forgives you of your sins. Lord, I know you paid the price. You bought me. You redeemed me. You reversed the curse out of my life. And God, you get all the glory. And when God gets all the glory, he shows up in a mighty way in our lives. just like he did in Daniel's life, three Hebrew children's life, Abraham's life, Moses' life, when he got all the glory. But Moses held that staff up at the Red Sea, and he was trapped behind with horses of Egypt's army, and he was trapped at the Red Sea. He just lifted his rod and let God do the rest. And God made a way. We can't depend upon our power or anyone else's. And I believe that we get wise counsel. I believe in counseling. I believe in hearing the Word of God taught. I believe in being under spiritual authority. I think that's important. That's why the local church is important. I understand in this local church, I'm the church authority, but I'm not the gospel authority. I'm not the spiritual authority of everything. I'm just the authority of the local church here. But my authority comes from God, and He's the supreme authority. So I know we have to have leadership. All that is very important. But not the point where people are following the leader and not Jesus. And that happens many times. How many times have we been swindled, so to speak, by fast-talking evangelists, slicker-tongued preachers, and people get so caught up, oh, they're the only one teaching truth. They're the only church. Church, this happens more when you realize. Maybe not here because you got such an awesome, humble, great pastor. You're not going to realize this. But outside these walls, there's a lot of people, a lot of preachers and spiritual leaders that truly, maybe they might not come out and say it directly. Some do, but some are very subtle, that they're the only church really teaching truth. I don't say that, church. I've never said that. There are a lot of churches teaching truth. A lot of churches teaching truth. And there's a lot not teaching truth. And so no preacher has a monopoly on the spiritual game. I'm the only one who knows all the answers. No, you're not. The ones like that don't know many answers. I mean, you don't know all the answers because why? Because I mean, it just doesn't matter. You know, I love Paul. Paul was a very educated man in the world, but he wasn't very educated spiritually. I mean, he was taught Jewish law, but he wasn't educated in the Christian way until Jesus took over. When the Holy Spirit filled Paul and went away for those 3 years, his occlusion to meditate and to do what he did, he come back then ready to preach. He didn't go to a college or university, or he didn't go to an evangelistic school for prophets, and he didn't go to, you know, get all this man teaching. He went off to himself, said, God, show me and help me and teach me. And he did. And then Paul brought that gospel back. Not against education, but I'm against following the man instead of following the message. There's a big difference. Follow the message of Jesus Christ. Follow that gospel. Don't follow that man or that person. Because when we start doing that, the focus comes off of God and on that person. And all of a sudden, you know, we're not where we're supposed to be. So Jesus is head of the church. This whole message was brought about by just the appearance of the Pope. And when that radio guy said it last night, it just hit my spirit. I got to talk about that. I got to address that. I just can't believe he said that Peter was the first Pope. Because on that, he quoted on the radio, said Peter's the first Pope. Because on that, you know, Jesus said, on that rock I build my church. I'm like, there's no understanding there. None. I mean, to me, and I'm sure to you tonight, hopefully, I mean, it's probably just common sense. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was built on the message, not Peter. But they've taken that, and then that's where the popes begin. Peter was the first, and I don't know, was it Paul? I don't know how the order is, but they, you know, none of those were popes in the sense that they're popes today. They were just spiritual leaders, disciples of God, sharing the gospel, just like we are. So be very careful not to get caught up in the teaching that takes anything off the focus of Jesus being head of the church. He makes it very clear in Scripture, He's the head. He died for the church. He died for us. And He's the only one we should call Father. He's the only one we should call holiness. There's no other. All right. Tony, good to see you tonight, brother. Very good to see you. You doing all right? Still riding your bike a little bit? Good. Y'all know Tom rode a bike, did you? He rides a bike. You still got that bike?